Yes. I think that should be the last person. Okay, two of you. That's all. You don't do.
Good evening, sir. Sir, he's still on the rapture, sir. He said, but the Lord, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. So my question is it possible to be in the shout and not hear the voice of the archangel and the voice of the trump of God?
Yes.
How, sir?
Yes. Ah, where? Praise the Lord. I preach a message that I titled The Response. And people remember that scripture, that psalm. Amen. You hear something. Amen. And you are supposed to respond. If you don't respond correctly, you will miss it. So it depends on how you respond. You heard the shout. How did you respond? And I gave you an example. Amen. A very perfect example. One time. And I said, in that message that I preached, I said, if we stay here now, for instance, listen, you know, if we stay here now, for instance, and maybe some danger somewhere, fall somewhere there, and people begin to run, there is a tendency that you just saw people running, and you think you will take off. You will run. Hallelujah. And I gave that example I will never forget. I went through the military school in Zaria. And we had an RSM that was very, very, very strict. He had a whip if he catch you. And in those days, you know, Afro was the in thing. And when holiday is coming like this, the last moments before the holiday, they want you to go home disgracefully. If you commit any offense, the first thing they do is shave your head. So that young boy you are going with Gori Makpa, you know when you say Sojama with the hair script, that's a criminal. And so we are very careful. And then we were in the wrong place, we were in a classroom where we should be somewhere else. And then we are there with my friend in the classroom. Then suddenly in another class far, it was a wrong time, sometime in the evening. And then, we had Babe. That was the nickname we gave him in the school. When you hear Babe, you better take, if he grab you, you are going to guard room straight and they will deal with you. Holiday and next week. So Babe, and then we ran. Jump through the window, run. And I saw my friend, he's a general in the Air Force. And then he ran like this. He saw everybody running, jumped through the window. He jumped through the window and followed me. I was running. I noticed he was pursuing me. I went like this, he followed. So I was wondering, why are you following me? So after some time, stop. I said, why are you pursuing me? And he said, I've been waiting to help you. Hallelujah. Then look, I said, you don't know what happened. Let me tear this race. He said, all I know is that something happened since you are running. You must have seen it. Wherever you go, I will follow you. There must be safety there. Hallelujah. And that makes me remember, that is how many of you are. You are going because somebody you have respect is going to a particular church. You say decide to follow. But where do you see, where make they go, you don't know, like Lot. Abraham was the one God spoke to. It was Abraham that God said, come out. Lord, to say, because they love themselves too much, he carried, they follow them, they go. Now, are they going under the same revelation? No, that is why Lot ended up where he ended up. So it is with the response to the message. God bless you.
So the second question is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verse 8. It said, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Does that mean they have oil before it went down, or what happened?
Yes, what made them foolish? First and foremost, they are virgins. Must take note that they were virgins. So they were clean Christians. They were clean Christians. But what is the oil? Oil that is the illuminator. And that is the Holy Ghost that gives revelation. He will teach you all things. And then that also now connects me to your question. Because we are talking about response. In verse 6 of Matthew 25, where you are quoting, it says, at midnight, there was a cry made, which is the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the virgins, both the foolish and the wise, they arose. Now, the emphasis there was that they trimmed their lamps, which is correcting your revelation. Correct water baptism. Correct baptism of the Holy Ghost. Clean Christians, but they did not have revelation. Therefore, you have a measure of the Spirit of God, a measure enough to keep you from worldliness, to keep you from all the nonsense, the world of sin, but you did not have enough to show you the way. So, the lamps burnt out because there is no more oil. So what happens? You remain in denominational darkness. Yes, they have the Holy Ghost enough, but it was not enough to take them in the rapture. God bless you.
So the last one is taken from Psalm 42.
Psalm what?
Psalm 42, verse 7.
Yes.
It said, deep calleth unto deep as the noise of water spurt. Sir, what is the deep that calleth unto the deep?
Now, what is the meaning of deep? That's what you want to know. Now, in sound, in study of sound, when you are in a horizon, a place, when you make this noise, oh, it will return again to you. We call it echo, but it is a response. Now, it hits something, and then it returns again to you. So, the deep calleth to the deep, and there is a deep. If there is a deep there, it will respond. And it's breaking it down to say that if you have the Holy Ghost, and I have the Holy Ghost, and I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost inside of you will cause you to respond correctly. The deep, call it to the deep. Thank you. Hallelujah. And that is why, okay, just before I answer that question, that is why William Branham said that the evidence of the Holy Ghost said, if you see anybody manifesting any anointing, any grace, he said, and you want to know whether that person has the Holy Ghost or he's just operating a gift. What did he say? He said, give the person the word test. Because it is the Holy Ghost that wrote the Bible. And if you have the Holy Ghost in you, and you are doing something contrary to the Bible, when the scripture is read to you, the deep, call it to the deep. The deep inside of you will respond and cause you to repent and do the right thing. But when you open scripture to a woman pastor, when the Bible says, permit not a woman to teach with some authority, a woman cannot be a pastor. And you go to a woman pastor who is manifesting serious power and anointing and oratory gift. And then people are even getting saved and manifestations. And you say, but thank God, but you are not in the perfect will of God. You say, how can you say? Then you read the Bible. If that woman rejects what is in the Bible, she doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. The deep call it to the deep, and there's a deep to respond. Yes, sister. Okay, let me read the question on the screen. And that question says, that is from Nela, from Ireland, Nolunga's daughter. My question is in relation to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and eternal security. Hebrews 6, 4 and 6. Does that mean if you sin after you receive the Holy Ghost, your name is blotted out? Oh. John 17 verse 2 is the son of perdition, the only name blotted out, or are there those who grieve the Holy Ghost? Or are those who grieve the Holy Ghost have their names blotted out from the foundation of the world? Huh? I'm mixing so many things here. So the first part of the question again, it says, okay, that's Hebrews chapter 6. Now, that scripture is also very deep. Can we read it from verse 4? From verse 4. It's important. Just please catch something. Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible. That's what Apostle Paul is telling us. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, they were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, they were manifesting power. And we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, the anointing. And have tasted the good word of God. They have confirmed. These signs shall follow them that believe. They confirm it. And the powers of the world to come. See where we are going. He said, it is impossible. If they shall fall away, he said, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So the question comes, amen. How can somebody receive all this grace that you mentioned and then fall away again? How is it possible? Verse 7 and verse 8, answer it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh up upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive a blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars, what is it done? It's rejected and is now unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. See what he's saying here? The rain that falls on the earth, it falls, it's a blessing. Hallelujah. To the earth. But on that earth, there are different seeds there. Some are planted by a farmer waiting to harvest it for food. But when that rain, which is a blessing, falls, it is not only the wheat that he planted that will come forth. Grass, tares, they will also spring up. But what caused them all to spring up? It is the rain, the same rain. That scripture explains or makes us understand what is going on in the church of Jesus Christ. Those, how they are messing up those who are anointed. Makes you understand why somebody will receive the Holy Ghost the same day with you and there is operating mighty gifts, but he's a fornicator. He's a thief. Before he pray for you, he will charge you money. And all the nonsense that they do. They even curse children of God. And all the nonsense, you know, they do. And the gift will not withdraw. But he says that when you see them like that, they cannot be changed. It is impossible to change them. Because this is who they are. It's their origin. So it's not about the book of life. The book of life is not written by adventure. make I try see whether if I put Moses Alu's name there. Hey, may this man no disappoint me. Hey, may this man no disappoint me. The Bible tells us the book of life is written from when? From the foundation of the world. So if your name is in the book of life, it's a book of life, it's a book of all those that will be redeemed. Your name cannot be there and be removed again. It remains there, and then the only thing is that if you commit anything and God has a limit, he will let you go. A father-son relationship exists for whom he loves. He chastises you. That also lets you know why some Christians will attempt to do some things. God will not allow them. But others who are going to the same church with them, they do the same thing and nothing happens to them. When you see yourself prospering in iniquity, it can also be a sign that you are not of God. God doesn't know you. That your papa know you. That your papa na devil. Praise the Lord. Your father is a devil. He's the one anointing you to do what you are doing. So, that is what the book of life is. The second aspect of Nala's question. The son of perdition, he said, is the son of perdition the only name blotted out, or those who grieve the Holy Ghost have their names blotted up from the foundation of the world? Listen, the son of perdition is Judas. He's the son of perdition. Who is the son of perdition? Is one that leads to destruction. Amen. So, before the foundation of the world, God had slain Christ. The Bible says so. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. By foreknowledge, predestination, that comes from foreknowledge. So, Judas' name was not in the book of life. The usage of the word book of life is sometimes confused. There is a book of eternal life. And there is a book that is called the book of life. But actually, it is a book of remembrance for reward. For everything you do, there shall be a reward. And there must be a record of what you are doing that makes you earn the reward. But they are all used like that as book of life. Blot out your name, blot out your name. For eternal life, your name cannot be blotted out because you have received eternal life. Do you know the meaning of eternal life? Eternal life has no end. So how can it not be ended? By wiping it from a book. And God will not gamble to give eternal life. Because once he gives you, he cannot withdraw it. You live eternally. That is the reason why he removed the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. So that they will not eat it in flesh like this and live eternally. Oh, glory be to God. God bless you.
David, sir.
Yes.
Please, sir, my question will not be from the scripture, but I really want to get it right. Like being a Christian and a believer, quite all right, before you get married, you have to enter into a relationship or you date for a while. And why dating, you know? As a Christian, being a virgin, you're not to defy yourself before you get married. Maybe you've been living life and yourself Christ. You're not meant to sleep around before your wedding day.
Even kiss.
I'm coming, sir. But I'm to ask, when you remove like sex in a relationship, some say you don't include any other thing. You exclude like kissing, etc. So my question is, are you meant to exclude the other ones
like
after excluding like sex in a relationship?
Like which other one?
Kissing and emotional thing that connects you both together.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Like
sorry,
just
sir.
Like just touch.
No, sir. I've asked so many people and some
kiss.
I'm coming, sir. As some Christian says that when you engage all those things, that it leads you, like, leads you to sin and all that. Why some say at least you have excluded sex in your relationship and being a Christian and a believer, you don't need to exclude some other things because it makes you, when you're with someone, you feel like a brother to you, nothing like emotional that connects you both together. So I really want to get this right.
What connects you together is love.
All right.
Not emotion. It is love. Okay. Now, go to Genesis. Chapter 3. From verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it. And what is that it? We have proved it was sex. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. If you touch it, you will die. So, not even to touch. Don't touch. Don't touch, oh! What join you together is love. And it is that love that drags you quickly to hasten up and get married. So that you can enjoy yourself, touch if you like. Carry, not just touch, carry everything. Church, clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more question. What is the significance of ring during wedding? Is it scriptural? Listen, there is the gospel according to nature. And I know so many people have sent me messages, text messages, emails, and then they are saying, Pastor, we believe all that you are saying, but please remove that ring from your hand. Amen. And I was really thinking of removing the ring, but because of them, I decided to leave it. So that I'll be using it to teach them. Praise the Lord. Because truly, I don't need the ring anymore. What did I need the ring for? Because one of the reasons for the ring is to remind you of the vows that you have exchanged. Amen. When you marry a woman, you exchange your marital vows. The ring is a token that causes you to, anytime you look at that ring, it reminds you that you have exchanged your vows with a woman anywhere you are. Now for me, 29 years ago I married. So what do I need the ring for again? Secondly, when a young man and a woman get married, they wear that wedding ring, which is also supposed to be a symbol or a reminder, a token of the vows they have exchanged. When any other suitor, a young man, sees that young girl with that ring, then it lets him know that she belongs to someone. Someone has paid the bride price. Praise the Lord. And he knows if he touches her, he may it's suicide. Anything that happened, he knows it's no-go area. So also, a woman that looks, a young girl that looks at another young man and sees the ring, if you were trying to play with him as some single brother, you will know that one woman can break your head behind you and you are careful with him. So, you say, is this scriptural? Yes, it speaks of something in the spirit. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you take his name, like the woman drops her name and takes the name of her husband. When the man, the minister, pronounces them husband and wife, so also. Now when you give your life to Christ, the minister takes you inside the water and then baptizes you in the name of your husband, the Lord Jesus. Then there must be something that the Lord will do, God will do to you to know that this man, this woman belongs to Jesus. He gives you a token. And that token is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when Satan comes around you, he sees that Holy Ghost, and he knows this one belongs to Jesus. No go area. So that is how it applies to the scripture. God bless you. I hope I have finished answering all the questions. Jesus, may you reign. Hallelujah. Listen, if you are sure, if he comes this night, you will go with him. Sit down. Wait, they didn't hear me. Let me repeat. Wait. If you are sure Jesus comes this night to carry his own home, you are sure you will go with him. Sit down. If you are not sure, stand up. You are sincere. Put your hand on your chest. Those of you standing up, close your eyes. You are sincere. That's a dangerous game you are playing with your life. There's something going on. I have something in the spirit. That's why I made that statement. Why will you gamble with your life like that? How will you call yourself a Christian and Christ doesn't know you? Put your hand in your chest. It's a decision between you and God. That is the biggest risk you are taking. Because in these perilous times, you don't know when you will die. And it's appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. When you meet your maker, what will you tell him? And maybe you're not ready because you are still drinking, you are still fornicating. You have not thought seriously about the heaven. You're just living your life. And God is just a religious obligation and not a sincere walk with your maker. And I can see you are sincere. That's why you decided to remain standing. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. That's your song, standing.
Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
This is my earnest cry.
This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
Sing anointing, flow
in my heart. Cover my head.
Give me the power
to do your will.
Oh Lord, oh Lord.
Oh,
Heaven is real and earth is, heaven is real and the hell is also real. Very soon, he that shall come will come. Certainly. One day there will be no more sermon to be preached. Because there will be no need. Salvation will be over. What excuse will you give? As you come here, you hear some of the things we say. The revelation of the reality of Jesus Christ. Let me give you 2 minutes to take this prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm going to tell the Lord. You want to serve Him. Let Him do all it takes to give you the grace, the power to serve Him. You don't want to remain in the estate that you are in. You know your estate. I don't want to be a religious person. How can I? Everybody knows me to be going to church. I'm a Christian. But Christ doesn't know me. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be with you. Can somebody stand in here and talk to God? I will have brought you to the altar. But the best altar is where you are now, between you and God. From your heart. Come to the Lord. It's not a walk with leg. It's a decision from the heart. It's standing at the door of your heart and even knocking right now. There's something I saw. The Lord wants to arrest somebody that you will not cross over to next year as an unbeliever. And the Lord wants to give that person the Holy Ghost here, now. Among those standing. And this may be the only chance you have. What if you leave now, travel, and you don't come back? And something happens to you along the way. What will you say? You're chasing money, and you don't have time for God. But the mercy of God is still available even now. If you make a decision to be serious with Him as we cross over to the new year. I want to be a Christian. I surrender. I surrender.
I surrender.
Oh, you truly surrender yourself today, somebody. Ah, Lord, who is it, Lord? Who is it, Lord? Somebody that has backslidden in his restoration. Who is the person, Lord? Don't condemn yourself. He wants you to come back to Him. That's why you are hearing me now. I was going to worship God. I was going to worship Him. And we're going to jump and rejoice. When suddenly He said, He wants to arrest somebody. He said He wants to arrest somebody. God so loves you. He's giving you opportunity. Maybe this is the last time. He has spoken to you several times. This may be the last time you will hear Him talk like this to you. Arrest that person, Lord. Arrest those your children. Cannot be more stubborn that the Holy Ghost cannot arrest you. Whosoever it is, eternal life is the Holy Ghost coming in a mortal being. baptism of the Holy Ghost. The day I gave my life to Christ, that very day, He gave me the Holy Ghost. Tears were coming out of my eyes uncontrollably. From that day, my life has not been the same again. Somebody here, the Lord wants to catch you. Like He caught me, He caught so many other children of His. Wherever that person is, Lord, visit that person. Visit your daughters. Visit your sons. They may be watching me now in the broadcast. Wherever they are, Lord, and they are making their decision from their hearts. Father, open them up, their heart. Somebody's heart is open, Lord. Enter and take over. Father, enter and take over. Let the sweetness of your grace pass to that person, Lord. Let your mercy touch that person, Father. Do something that after today, there will be something else, a newness of life. Be so connected to you, they will so fall in love with the cross of Jesus. They will be less worldly, Lord. Do it, Heavenly Father. Whosoever that person is, I'm giving the Lord another 2 minutes to finish with you. Let that person receive the Holy Ghost now. That's what you desire. That's what you need. That's what you need. To bring you back. Bring you back. You're backsliding. Come back. Come back before it's too late. Come back. You can't wrestle with your maker. You can't battle with the Lord. Complete it, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. May the Lord have mercy upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. So leave here today. May the Lord do something in your life that will make you too heavenly minded to be earthly bound in the name of Jesus Christ. May the power of sin be broken in your life. And you that are backslidden, may the Lord restore you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Be seated. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Put your hands together for Jesus.